Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. I told you that we are going to try and speak to as many players in this government of national unity as possible. The ANC has very graciously agreed to talk to us again. As you may remember, the spokesperson of the ANC was here, but so much has happened since she was here. And so we asked them to come and join our conversation again so that we can clarify a couple of things. The ANC Chief Whip is in studio with us, Ndumiseni Ntuli. Baba Ntuli, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us. Good evening to you and the listeners of Kaya FM.
Thank you for coming through. We're going to go through this quite gently, so we have a lot of time to discuss what is happening. And in fact, we're going to allow for callers also to come through, if you don't mind. Let's just maybe start by the general feeling within the ANC about the results, just to begin with, the election results.
Well, of course, I think we accepted the results. This is not essentially what we were looking for. We were looking for a decisive victory, almost in the same way that we've enjoyed over the past 30 years. But of course, when we went to these elections, we understood that the conditions were slightly different from what we know and have experienced over the years. There was a lot of negative mood in society, occasioned by a variety of factors. Remember that sometimes last year there was a serious intensity of load shedding, which made many people to be unhappy about the ANC-led government and by extension the ANC. The rising levels of unemployment, poverty and inequality, all of those factors were intervening in a way that was negative towards the African National Congress. But the fact that we succeeded, despite all of those challenges, to register more than 6 million votes and to have the second part to us really being left behind by, you know, more than half of the votes that we have, is really a great honor. And it's something that as the ANC we're very proud of and which we've accepted with great humility.
A couple of things have happened to your point. You know, obviously you knew, and as you're obviously on the campaign trail, you understood what people were telling you even before the results. There are people who didn't even bother to go and vote. How did you read that?
We see this has been a trend for quite some time. And our own view, we haven't done the analysis for these elections. I mean, I'm talking
yes,
about
this is quite
an extensive assessment of how we performed. But this has been a worrying trend for us, because it suggests that you've got a very huge number of people in the country who are not very optimistic about the democratic project. This has nothing to do with the ANC per se, but the ANC gets affected because an incumbent. And it's a matter that we need to work on as South Africans, and it's a matter that we think that the ANC and the ANC-led government will have to devise ways, means and ways to ensure that we address that situation, because it is not sustainable to have so many people. I mean, more than 10 million South Africans who have registered to vote but who decide not to go out and participate on the election day.
Yeah.
It's an indictment to our democratic project. And of course, in one way or the other, it's also a negative statement about the leadership role of the ANC of our country. And it's a matter that requires us to do something differently in order to overcome.
You obviously, as you said earlier, obviously you wanted to get an outright majority.
Sure.
You wanted to do that. But you had yourselves conducted your own internal research. And the numbers that you yourselves had received were quite telling of what may be coming.
Sure, that's right. I mean, you know, there was a time when our own internal poll was indicating that the support base of the ANC from among the ANC members, the strongest supporters of the ANC, was you know, hovering around 34, 36, around that.
Yeah.
And we're very concerned about that.
Yes.
We knew, of course, that once the campaign intensifies, the electorate is going to be rejuvenated, motivated, and that will help us to increase you know, the mood in the country in terms of positive mood towards the African National Congress. But as the campaign was rolling out and as we're deepening the campaign following the manifesto launch, we were still not very happy with the level at which, the national mood was reflected through various pollings that were done by different institutions and what we were ourselves as an organization, we were getting as an outcome of our own interaction with the people on the ground. So I'm saying to you, I think, the past few years have been very difficult for South Africans for reasons that are both objective and subjective.
Yes.
Objective in a sense that President Ramaphosa assumed office in an environment that was quite difficult. The country was going through major, major challenges in terms of the state of our economy and the functionality of our state corporations, or what we call the state-owned enterprises, which were going through a very serious challenge of destruction, corruption. And as he was intervening together with his administration to turn the situation around, here comes the COVID-19, here are the floods, and beyond, more and above that, we then have to deal with the situation of what was called the July unrest. So quite honestly, at an objective level, I think he assumed office at a time when no other president of the country has had to contend with the challenges that were facing the country. We must also admit that there were also subjective weaknesses where some of the municipalities led by the ANC, including at some point national department or provincial departments, would not demonstrate capacity to respond effectively to the plight of our people on the ground. And of course, that is as a result of, in many ways, the state of the organization, the state of the ANC, which is why the ANC insisted on two conferences that unless we act decisively on the renewal project of the ANC, the movement is going to die.
How do you feel that project is going, the renewal project?
Look, a lot, the foundation has been established to some extent, but there's a great deal of work that still need to be done. When we were elected in December 2022, we assumed office in January last year. We started the process of setting up, the systems, the basic architect that is required for you to embark on the renewal of the organization. But of course, we couldn't sustain that work with the demands of the election campaign. So we've got to abandon other things and focus on the election campaign. But even as we did that, we knew very well, perfectly in our minds, that we are going to the war or to the battle with soldiers who are not properly prepared for that battle. But we had no choice. We had no time to prepare them sufficiently in order to respond to the demands of our battle, which is the election, because you've got to make a choice between starting late to prepare for the elections because you are embarking on the renewal, or to start immediately and try to work with the material at your disposal in order to contest elections. The other issue is that this renewal agenda is not a smooth process.
Yes.
It's a painful exercise.
Yes.
Other people would not be happy when the ANC effectively embark on the renewal of the ANC, because among other things, it is going to result into a position where some of us who are in leadership, others who are membership, would not necessarily qualify to be the elected leadership of the ANC, would not qualify to be the members of the ANC. So it's a very complex and difficult undertaking, which is necessary, though it has to be carried out, because we have to defend the African National Congress.
It's an important thing that you've just said, because as you said, I mean, the process, apart from the fact that you have to follow your own processes, that process sometimes can be long, number one, apart from the fact that it's quite painful. Did you see the establishment of the MK party coming?
I think we did not really accurately understood the environment to be, resulting in the formation of a party, let alone being led by a former president of the ANC. We had a sense that there was a level of unhappiness among some of the ANC members who were either not happy because of the outcome of the conferences that had taken place in regions, in provinces, including the National Conference of the ANC. But unlike in the past conferences where, you know, you will depart a national conference with a clearly defined, definite line that there are two groups. One group feel that it has been defeated and is going to organize itself outside the ANC.
Mm.
We didn't have that kind of a situation. And let alone to have one of your former leaders really taking a center stage to form a party whose formation has undoubtedly impacted negatively on the African National Congress. So we may have speculated as we were seeing developments that something might happen, but just concretely as a leadership, we really never in advance came to the conclusion that we can see a formation of a party is on the card.
And so, first of all, there's a lot of criticism in how you manage that process once then he announced that he's going to be supporting another party, but staying within the ANC. There were obviously some back and forths about the fact that can you start a disciplinary process, can you not, when to do it, and all of that. Do you think you should have probably acted earlier?
No. I think the way in which we approach the matter was correct.
Okay.
Even if we're to be faced with the same situation tomorrow, I think the ANC would still act in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, when somebody takes a decision that I'm now aligning with a particular political party, and this happens in December on the eve of the festive season, as a leadership, you have a responsibility to sit back, properly reflect on what is this thing all about, how is it going to impact on the organization, which parts of the country are going to be affected, who are the people who may be attracted to this new idea. So if you act without having properly understood the kind of an entity and the animal we are dealing with, you are bound to commit many mistakes. I think it was correct that the leadership was very careful. And of course, I think many people that may have decided to leave the ANC stayed behind because they understood that the ANC is not reckless and is not acting in a vindictive way. We are allowing a process and where possible, including an engagement, to persuade those that may be mobilized by, you know, the formation of the new party to desist from leaving the ANC, but instead to stay behind and remain in the ANC if their own challenges of any kind being discussed and resolved internally.
Was the result then that they got a surprise?
Yes, the result, I must say, we didn't see it that way.
Mm.
We knew that they were going to have an impact on us because with one person leaving the ANC, one vote is gone. And certainly, when you know that it's not one person, it's quite a few of people, a number of people who are going to leave you, including those who believe in them.
Yes,
it's inevitable that we are going to, you know, to have a negative impact on your electoral support. But I think for them really to rise to the level at which they are, to become a number one in KZN, and to become the third biggest party in the country, it was not expected by the ANC. I don't even think they themselves had expected that kind of a support for them.
I'd like to take a quick break, and I'll be very happy to take your calls when we come back on 086-000-0959. I've got the ANC Chief Whip in studio with us, Mseni Ntuli, and we're going to be taking your calls as well as your voice notes. If you want, you can send them on 063-688-0959. Mseni Ntuli is my guest. He's the ANC Chief Whip. We're going to be discussing many, many things. We kind of laid the foundation. We very soon are going to go into the GNU arrangement, and I know you want to take a part in this conversation. 086-000-0959. Let's go straight to it. Sunny Boy in Benoni, hello and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and your guest there.
Sawubona Baba, sawubona Sunny Boy, hi.
Wekotike
Baba.
Shenkabi, Kabzangali. Zamali Makaya is a good bio manch. Yes, Kangane good, got a swelly. And something of a panafin like we are calling.
Yes, yes.
Where got you to? We have in the Nisha, we have in the Nitanda, we saw the two soldiers. Who's a Makuma, not straight to him. We can't get along with it. So what is it? In terms of ngiyabona nalento futhi eyenza ukuthi nikhale ngaphansi wegodide ukuthi i-insighting yenu iyanenza ukuthi ninakani ninodwa nilwa naseniyasikohlwa thi nasenishayeka lapho-ke okuningi-ke angeke ngisakusho ukusihlinza eradiweni what you just said and number two engikubonayo-ke manje ukuyinkinga or noma ukuyingozi mhlambe abaphathi labo eniphethene nabo kuyofanele niqalele phansi nisebenze ngoba yabona ukungena kwenu kule coalition ye-DA cha ingiphazamisile kanti iphazamiseke nabanye abantu futhi kula futhi nginibona khona godidi ukuthi ngathi niyoshayeka futhi ngoba manje nithe nisadidekile naku uma nithi niyavuka niphuza amanzi naphuza amanzi arong phuza amanzi arong godidi vuma mpontule phuza amanzi arong ukuthi nihambe niyoshada ithi kube nimane nje mhlawumbe na you just step aside then nanalwa into yenu and then mina njengokongolos you go back nize kithi thina abantu basemzansi nithi last bedile sicela uxolo sizwile kodwa siyanithembisa ukuthi kusukela manje sibamba iqini ngiyacabanga ukuthi mfoka godidi uyazi yona kuya emakhaya leyo nto leyo ibizo nisebenzele kodwa uma nisaqala futhi nisalokhu nenza kanje ndwanguza kanje noshayeka futhi
siyabonga Sunny Boy, thank you so much. Bamtuli, your response.
Yino siyabonga Sunny Boy. Mhlambe angibonge nje iziluleko zakho ukuthi kungenzeka kube mhlambe uma sibheka udaba le-MK party silibukele phansi and we didn't act in a way that respect the fact that this is a potential threat to the ANC. I agree with you on that. Ngiyavumelana nawe as well ukuthi mhlambe we are also occupied by we have been occupied in to some extent by our own internal battles. And therefore losing sight of a strategic task that the ANC has as a leader of society. It's one of those lessons. This thing about the new ANC, any into that we want to achieve is to liberate the movement from the internal backlist.
So this comes up all the time. This is not new. In fact, I mean, you've been here so many, many times with the internal battle problems. What will it take for that to be settled?
There is no shortcut. There is no easy route except an effective program of the renewal of the ANC. What will that entail, in my own view? Of course, the conference has made a decision about the need to embark on the renewal and mandated the National Executive Committee to set up a team that must theorize around the content of the renewal program of the ANC. But let me tell you what is my own view and urgent tasks. The ANC is carrying within itself a lot of people who are not genuine members of the ANC. It's not easy to identify them. It's not easy that when somebody walks into your office and say, my name is Mdumiseni Ntuli, I've seen the ANC constitution, I like the ANC, I want to join, and I've got money to pay for the joining fee. I believe that we need to change the way in which we access or we allow people to join the ANC. But I think the point
of
departure...
Your thoughts on that? We've had different views on how the ANC is reviewing or thinking about...
I think the point of departure, and I know some of my comrades usually say this is too radical.
Yes.
The point of departure would be that all of us must be allowed to reach a point where our membership expires. And when you apply to be readmitted to the ANC... You've got to explain and provide evidence. Why should the ANC readmit you as a member? What has been your contribution as a member? Because we've got a lot of members of the ANC, by the way, who don't even attend meetings. When you call a meeting of the branch does not form a quorum. Even in a situation where you just need 51 people to come to a meeting, you can't find enough of those coming to the meeting. My own conclusion is that the reason why those appear to be uninspired and not willing to attend meetings of the ANC, essentially because a number of them are not genuine members of the ANC. And I think the ANC must reach a point where it separates in a very distinct way those that belong to the ANC as members and those that remain in the ANC as supporters. Because in any case, the supporters of the ANC are much more many and I would say even much more loyal than the number of us who are members of the ANC. Mm. The 6 million that went out to vote for us is far bigger than the membership we have as an organization. It's slightly below 1 million. So the point I'm making is that we've got to start from the beginning, and we have to devise means and ways through which we can effectively make a determination that this Mdumiseni should not be a member, because if you allow him to be a member, you are running a risk of getting him elected to become a leader of the ANC. And yet we are electing a supporter that is supposed to remain in support of the African National Congress.
And of course, the point you were making earlier is that others are going to resist. You know,
yeah, that's why
it's going to be difficult.
But you see, genuine members of the ANC should not find it difficult when they are asked to, renew and to explain why they must be readmitted. Because if you are a genuine member of the ANC, you know your basic responsibilities. You are discharging them daily.
Yeah.
And when you are asked the reason to justify your readmission, should be able to produce evidence.
Okay. So we go to the elections and we find ourselves here. 40% and combined just under 40%, which is quite scary, actually, national and provincial. How did the party come to the decision of going with this government of national unity? You had many options, and I'm sure you explored them.
Of course, there were many options. I mean, maybe let me just highlight three or four of these options.
Yeah.
We could have taken a government of national unity, which is what is we're in. We could have taken an option of a minority government. A minority government would have meant that we're a majority in parliament, we're going to form government.
Yeah.
But we engage individual parties to strike a deal with them.
Yes.
That, look, we're going to parliament, we're going to elect President Cyril Ramaphosa. We want you to work with us on that. And you must agree what other things that you want to be taken into consideration as an opposition party, but which has entered into an arrangement with us to form a government. There's something that is called confidence and supply.
Yes.
Where you can agree with one or two parties that we're forming government, we'll consult one another on certain aspects
issues
of governance. But you are giving us an assurance that we are not going to be part of
sabotage
any that comes with vote of no confidence.
Yes.
The other option would be that we enter into a grand coalition.
Yes.
Grand coalition, take one or two, take the DA, or you take the EFF. And all others are marginalized.
That's it.
You work with them to form government. The other option is to become an opposition. That, okay, we've lost elections in a sense. We are unable to form government. Yes, we're a biggest party, but let's go to the opposition benches. The reason why we could not take all these other options are as follows. The Grand Coalition was going to be difficult because the biggest parties in parliament have on many occasions publicly communicated a message that part of their own strategic objective is the destruction of the ANC. They want to liquidate us. The DA is on record with that. The EFF is on record with that. MK is very clear. So when we engage, when we were imagining about the possibility of a grand coalition, we said it's not going to work. When we're looking at the issue of a minority government, so we also said that may be difficult to do, because all of these people, they don't like one another in the same way they don't like us. But I think each one of them can tolerate us better than among themselves. So we might have a difficult to negotiate government. The third option was that if you go to an opposition, it's perfectly clear that neither the DA nor the combination of the MK part and EFF will be willing to compromise and work together to establish government. If there was a possibility for such, the ANC could have perfectly decided that we'll stay in the opposition benches and allow them to lead. Now, what then preoccupied our mind is what we call the national interest. When you go to an elections, you have an outcome. The expectation of the population is that there must be a government, because there are pressing issues in society which otherwise would not be resolved unless we've got an elected government. So we then said, okay, the best thing is that let's propose a government of national unity. Perfectly clear in our mind that the major parties in parliament have got serious issues towards the ANC, but let's go to them. Let's be big enough as the ANC and say to them, here are the national interests. These are the conditions that, in our view, must underpin the establishment or the setting up of the government of national unity. Loyal to the constitution, a commitment to revive the economy in order to ensure that it serves the majority of our people, stability and peace in the country, and that the country is at the point, as President Ramaphosa is saying, what he defined as a moment of fundamental consequence, which essentially means whatever action we take or we do not take might have an adverse impact in the life of our nation.
Mm.
So we went to all parties and engaged them.
All of them.
Like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Those that did not meet with us was because they'd taken a conscious decision that they don't want to engage with us.
Okay.
One of them is what is called the action essay.
Yes.
In fact, they even walk away from their friendship with the DA.
Yes.
On the basis that the DA is talking to. That's how much they hate us. That they don't want even to sit down and talk to us as the African National Congress. So after engaging all of them, there were various conditions that parties were raising.
Mm-hmm.
The EFF, for instance, which is the first part we started with. The first meeting was very cordial,
mm-hmm.
very productive, and we're very positive and optimistic about it. The subsequent meeting of the EFF, it was like we're meeting a different leadership of an EFF, not the ones we met 2-3 days ago.
In what way?
They came with conditions, for instance, such as this. We don't want to work in the GNU.
Okay.
We hate the DA. We want to work with you alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we said to them, on many occasions, last year and the year before last and before that, you have been voting the DA to dislodge us in various municipalities. And you stated publicly that the reason why you are doing that is because the easiest way to bring about the destruction of the ANC is to unplug it
mm-hmm.
from all levers of power and from all governance. So that is a commitment you made.
Mm-hmm.
You were prepared to sacrifice us
mm-hmm.
and work with the DA.
Mm.
You are now characterizing as your strategic enemy or an opponent
mm-hmm.
to remove us. The DA itself carries the same mentality.
I was going to say, isn't that the same condition that the DA had?
Yep. The DA itself carries the same mentality that they want the ANC dead.
Yes.
They don't want
the EFF as well.
Yes, they don't want the EFF as well.
Yeah.
But you know, the difference between the two of them was mm-hmm. that the DA said, we are willing to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
we are willing to work with you on the GNU
mm-hmm.
on condition that the EFF and the MK part will not be party to. Our response to them was that those two parties must make their own voluntary decision. We want them in as the ANC. So in the back and forth discussion with the MK and the EFF, they voluntarily decided that because you are keeping the DA in the conversation, we are walking away.
I want to be clear. So at no point did you walk away from anybody.
No, we didn't.
It's the individual party that decided to walk away.
That's
what you're saying.
The MK part, for instance, they said to us, you know, when you are negotiating, there's something called red lines.
Yes.
That, you know, this one we can't.
Yeah.
They came to us and say, we can work with you
mm-hmm.
on condition that we enter into a coalition between the two of us and exclude everybody else.
Yes.
If anyone, it must be black parties. That's mm-hmm. what they said. Mm-hmm. It must be black parties mm-hmm. that are coming
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
But here is the condition. We don't want Ramaphosa, your president. We don't believe that he has done well. He deserves a second term. So if we can agree with you that Ramaphosa leaves, then we're going to work together. So we said to them, some of us have got very strong views about your leader, JZ. But we are not here to tell you who must be your leader. You are now a distinct organization from us, and we've got to respect your right to determine your own leadership. The same must be expected of you towards our own leadership. So that now the worst
fundamentally that was the case, and we all know
the worst thing was that they also say we're not going to parliament.
Okay.
We won't go there and be sworn in because these elections have been rigged. We're fighting the IEC. We're in court. So we said to them, we want to set up a government,
mm-hmm.
one parliament to function.
Mm.
We want stability in the country because if parliament doesn't sit, the vacuum like that is not going to be the best interest of our country.
May I quickly ask, had you agreed to that, had they committed to then accepting the results of the elections? Or that was a separate issue completely
and
they were
issue.
Still going in to fact, contest that?
In fact, they were lobbying us.
Oh.
That we must also join them rejecting or questioning the legitimacy of the outcome of the elections because they are of the view that there's been massive riggings which they've taken to court. So with them, it was perfectly clear that our ways are not going to meet. We've got separate paths because they don't accept elections, we do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're the ones who are the highly affected party because we're a governing party for 30 years and suddenly, boom, something like this happened to us. But we thought that at the end of the day, we're the ANC.
Mm.
We really have to be, magnanimous in terms of how we respond to the challenge of an electoral setback. Mm. They did not want to accept that, and yes, they're a new kid on the block. Mm. So with the EFF, just to conclude the point, the EFF met with us. Mm. They said, no, 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 if the DA agrees to talk to you and they are willing to participate...
We are walking away.
We are walking away.
And
we
tried
to persuade them, and they said, no, 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 we will not be part of this because there's a democratic alliance.
Mm.
Now, our argument is that there comes a time for political parties and even for individuals where the interest of the country must take precedence over your own desires.
Mm.
Our view as the ANC is that South Africa is now facing that moment. Hence, the president is calling it a moment of fundamental consequence.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I've got a voice notes, I've got calls coming through. I'm going to do that when I come back, but you can start dialing in as well on 086 000 00959.
Pimelo, ke khotso thapelo. Na ke batla o jwetsa gore wa bona from Maguta, Tate Zuma o yentse eng? ANC ha ka kuba fela ditsotsi tse etla loka. Thank you.
I listened to your short interview with the gentleman who is the director of communications at DA. I'm a bit dissatisfied with his answers regarding their process and disciplinary process in the handling of Mr. Ghos's behavior, if I were to put it. As the director of communications, I would assume that they would vet and go over every member's use of communication platforms such as Twitter, YouTube, and any other social media that's available. And they would probably would have, most likely, especially as a director of communications, would have been made aware of Mr. Ghos's use of these platforms over the past decade and a half. And they had done nothing this entire time whilst Mr. Ghos was going up the ranks. Now, my question here is, to what extent did it have to get their vetting process is lacking, most definitely, because had this video not surfaced, would they have not checked? Do they ever check?
All right. I promise you we're going to get the DA again, and we will make sure that they respond effectively to some of these questions, because you're absolutely right. Not quite adequate. They didn't want to go into further details, by the way. So we were told upfront that they're only going to respond to one or two questions, and that's why we don't even have them on this conversation on the GNU. So we promise you we'll make sure that all of that is sorted out. But let me go quickly to Bongani before I come back to Mr. Nduli. Bongani in Soweto, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo, and good evening to the guests.
Good evening, Bongani.
My quick question is simple, is that based on the factual perspective, things that have been taking place within the governance of the ANC, is that majority of the people have lost trust into ANC. And does the ANC have an ideological manner in terms of retrieving the trust from people, maybe a system that they're going to use to make sure that people gain trust again from the ANC, since we know that the ANC is a majority party that leads from 8 years ago.
Sure, Bongana. Thanks very much for that question, and good evening to you. No, sure, we do have a plan. If we were to depart from the current experience, going to the future, having learned nothing, we are not worth of being leaders of this country. We have learned a very good lesson about the state of the ANC, because the outcome of these elections is essentially a communication about and a judgment by South Africans about the state of the African National Congress, that in their own view, the ANC has not effectively projected itself truly as an effective instrument of liberation at their disposal, which is what it has been over the past 30 years. We've got to contend with that reality. The first thing to deal with it is an acceptance that we're not in good shape and failure to act in a way that is intended to address that weakness.
Let me go to Mike in Tembisa. Mike, good evening and welcome. Thanks for holding.
Hi, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good. Welcome.
I'm good, thanks. Actually, I don't speak Zulu. I don't speak English chapter 4.
Go right.
I'm a very typical Zulu.
No,
it's okay. I didn't put a good book. I'm going to send it to the general. abawuboni nonochaka ukuthi ngoba belala emgedeni owodwa ne-DA angeke bajikele na-DA ngoba phela i-DA uhelenzile washo wathi ufuna ukuthi i-ANC ingabi semandleni. I-GNU isebenzile ngo-94 ngesikhathi sakaMandela, after 2 years yafeyila i-National Party yaphela. So abakuboni lokho ukuthi kungaba la same thing engenzakala ngoba phela ngeke kulandwe isika sakhe embhedeni owaziyo ukuthi singavuka ebusuku sekulisa ushebe. Ngiyabonga.
Siyabonga baba. So I suppose the question to add to what you're going to respond to is there no concern that whatever, whether you went to the left or whether you went to the right, whoever you chose to form this government of national unity with, or even if you had gone into a coalition, that you don't quite have the mandate of your own voters on who to collaborate with?
Sure, I think that could be a fair concern from the electorate. But you know, in terms of our own tradition, the National Executive Committee of the ANC has a responsibility to lead the organization in between conferences. Because can you imagine if we were to, every time we must move, we must convene a particular meeting in order to do a consultation about how to proceed, we would not be able to provide leadership effectively and efficiently.
Except, you've now pointed out to the point that here you are surrounded by parties who had made it their business to diminish the
definitely
ANC.
Definitely, both on our left
both on your left and
right
your right. Actually, you are surrounded by enemies.
Yes.
And that is why one, in a way, would have to interrogate quite closely how and why the reaction from others like Mike are feeling the way they are feeling, because they're afraid that you are going into relationships with people who've already... the Moonshot Pact was organized specifically for your demise and many, many other initiatives, as you know.
That's correct. But the choice we could not take is a choice of walking away from the responsibility as the biggest party in terms of the electoral outcomes. Walking away from the responsibility, I'm saying that it would have imposed devastating consequences to society. We're probably going to stay longer, more than 30 days without the formation of government, the consequence of which would be to go back to the elections. What happens to the people of South Africa who are expecting services, who can't wait for their lives to be improved, who have been promised a better life for all? For some of them, it has been a reality, but for others, it's still a challenge. We couldn't take a position that was going to really make us walk away from the fundamental task that we have, which is to serve the people of South Africa. Now, the best way to maintain and to handle your own opponents is to keep them much more closer to you. Because look at what we've done. We've defined what is the national interest. Mm-hmm. It's contained in the statement of intent. That's the perspective of the ANC. These parties, all of them, have agreed with that perspective. The disagreement is not the perspective in the direction of the country. It's that I can't join you and enter into this bus if you are traveling with this other person.
Okay.
But I'm prepared to enter the bus if you ask the other one to leave. So the ANC's approach is that bring everybody under one roof, exercise leadership in such a way that would make it difficult for anybody to want to leave once they're inside the room, but still achieve your strategic objectives of building a better life for all.
Let me quickly get to Sammy in Pretoria. Sammy, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimela. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Pimela, I'm listening to your guest, and the only thing that comes out of his when he's speaking is victimhood.
Victimhood.
Yes.
Okay.
He talks about how they're surrounded by parties that want to discredit the ANC, how Action ANC has been the ANC. Any patriotic South African will have hatred towards the ANC. You look at the 6 years that of what they've done to our country, more than 1 trillion rand being squandered. They've discredited our SOEs. So you're sure these parties that want to discredit the ANC, they are within their legal right to discredit the ANC. The ANC right now is fighting for its survival. They are not fighting for anything for this whole thing of the GDP, because they care about their country, our country. No, it's about their survival so that they can remain in government and destroy our country. I'm speaking on fact. I'm not speaking because I hate, because of how I feel about the ANC. We've seen what they've done. So you mustn't come here and act like a victim.
No. All right. Sammy in Pretoria, thanks. But Ntuli?
Yeah, I thought Sam is going to do, to also act like a true responsible citizen. That stop doing that, you should have done the following. Now, you see, the burden of leadership is that we can't just come in and condemn. You have a primary responsibility to apply your mind, to look at the options available to you, and to decide which one you think would be in the best interest of the population of South Africa. Mm-hmm. So we acted in this way precisely because, in our own view, we could not have allowed a situation where the country is unable to form government, primarily because the ANC has decided selfishly to stand on the side and wait for parties that are completely incapable of working together to form government.
So we are now here. This decision has been made, and you now have the formations that you have. Except that what is a concern, I think, to many is that already you are hearing publicly disagreements. I think that's a concern, that you hear Helen Zille say the one thing, then you hear yourself and Fikile Mbalula say something else about your understanding of what this statement of content is. That's a concern. And from what you had said about allowing everybody to come in, already there's a concern about the fact that, well, actually, it doesn't seem like the DA is respecting that. The DA publicly is already telling us that they want to decide who can join. You, as the ANC, have already told us that you're engaging everybody and you have invited everybody, and those engagements are continuing.
Yeah.
They have publicly gone and said, no, that's not true. We must be consulted. And if we're not consulted, those people are not welcome.
We've had to respond to that publicly.
Mm.
But also consistent with our leadership responsibility, you know, to engage with parties in a constructive way.
Mm.
We also had a discussion with the DA outside the public arena. What we sought to clarify one another is the interpretation of the clause, which says that the parties who are in the GNU will have to decide collectively on whether or not to accept any other party that wants to affiliate with the GNU.
Mm.
Where the DA was getting it wrong, and when today we had a very good discussion, and I think we've understood each other.
Mm-hmm.
The GNU has not yet been established.
Yes.
President Ramaphosa has not appointed cabinet.
Mm.
In return, we have not had an opportunity in Cape Town to set up committees of parliament in a manner that reflect the spirit of the GNU, except the election of the speaker and the deputy speaker. The rest has not happened. Yeah. So we advise the DA that, look, our own understanding, and we think this is the most rational and logical understanding, is that parties that have agreed to the GNU can only be confirmed as parties that are now the foundation of the GNU at the time when cabinet has been appointed, parliamentary committees have been set up, and we're starting to work. Now, anyone who decide after that, that, look, I can see that this train is moving and I'm very interested and want to join. Therefore, that is going to require us to sit down and say, now we have so-and-so wanting to come on board.
Yeah.
What do we do? What conditions are we setting for him or them? And then what is going to happen? But at the stage where we are, the commitment has been the statement of intent and that we would want the government to be set up. But that process has not been concluded.
And, you know, teething problems are fine. This is a new baby, as you said. There is no GNU yet.
Definitely,
we've got, we've got a statement of intent, and that's where we sit right now.
Yeah.
But it should concern you that at such an early stage, you have publicly people who refer to your own understanding as being wrong publicly. Why are you speaking with forked tongues? Why are you not able already? And does it not concern you that whatever differences or clarity that needs to be made can be done internally by yourselves without us witnessing the mess and what looks like disrespect, actually?
Look, the practical reality with which we've got to contend with as political parties and as South Africans in general is that the concept of the GNU at the point at which we find ourselves as a country is going to be subjected to a continuous engagement, interpretation, and contestation.
Remember, must it be publicly spitting
sometimes
on one
it will
another?
Be. Mm. And it's in the best interest of South Africans when it's playing itself out in public, because mm-hmm. they then learn in a much more deeper way what is it that is the perspective of the ANC on the matter, what's the perspective of the other party on the matter. So there will be a moment where this, you know, the discourse is going to unfold in the public domain, because remember, we've got a constituents that we represent as the ANC,
okay,
which is distinct from the one that the DA sure. represent. So at times it's important that we also take into confidence our own constituents about the positions we've adopted.
So why have you not then publicly published the statement of intent?
The document is already in the public domain. I think what has not happened is, it means what was circulating in the social media with the signatures of the SG and the
That's just signatures. The actual document is, we've been given a document from the ANC, which is a framework.
Yes.
No. Okay. It's not the document itself. And I think we want to be careful about this, because we haven't actually got real sight of the document. What we do have is what the DA is telling us, reading publicly what the certain clauses are. And we do have a statement from the ANC which has an outline of the document, but to be fair, we don't have, and it's not even about us, it's about your own constituency, as you're saying, which needs to be very clear what agreements you're getting into so that there can be this public dialogue.
No, I think that's a fair point. Mm. I think the SG and the leadership will have to lead us in terms of ensuring that in consultation with all parties that have signed, the document becomes a public property.
All right, let me take a call from Maxwell in Pretoria. Thanks for calling and thanks for your patience, Maxwell. Hi.
Maxwell is Nevari from Bombela.
Nevari. Did you give yourself a name called Maxwell at some point?
I don't know why she called me Maxwell. But
okay, go ahead.
Good evening, Comrade Mdu. I think it's quite a genius move by the NEC of the ANC to invite all South Africans to form a government of national unity. I think we must commend the ANC for this bravery. A sign of humbleness, a servant of the people organization, but actually clearly suggest that we need to unite South Africans and build a better life for all. I wanted to speak about one point, which is quite important, that I think people are worried about things that are not quite important. In the ANC, we don't expect leadership to consult on everything they do. So when we elect leadership, we trust them that they will deliver, and their wisdom is quite important in driving the organization from day to day. So this decision of the ANC of going to GNU is not really a matter that membership should be worried about. Actually, we're not worried about it, because we know that when the time is right, the ANC structures will discuss it as a matter of tactics. I think that must be underlined. It's a tactical decision. It doesn't change the character of the ANC. It doesn't change what the ANC stands for. Instead, it seeks to achieve the objective of the ANC of building a better life for all in the United Nations, or what you could call a rainbow nation, as you can say. So, but the point I'm trying to drive to is that we really hate that position. I think Comrade Mdu explained it quite very well.
Thanks.
About what seeks to be achieved. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks, Nevari. Let me go to Watson. Watson, thanks for calling.
Hi, Pamela. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I'm good, Pamela. Pamela, you know, I'm listening to our guest today, and it's quite interesting. And you know what? It's a good thing to say ANC have taken a brave stand to try and give a better life for all. But looking at the past history, ANC, they failed in the 30 years. All right. But that's not the issue. The issue is the way forward now with what they've done with the GNU. Number one, I've got 2 points. If they say this is for the better for all, and they say they cannot consult with the list, that's a question. For me, it's a bit of a question mark. Number two, there is an intent. There's a difference between intent and the do. They intend to give a better life. Sleeping with the enemy, like with the DA. The whole idea, as South Africans, we have lost the trust in ANC based on who they have taken to bed with, especially with the DA. We're not worried about any other parties, but for ANC to say they cannot consult the people of South Africa, yes, they want to give a better life to the people, but they can't talk to us. it's a bit of a concern for us farmers.
Thanks, Watson. Silent, I'm so sorry, Silent. Thanks for your patience. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and let me also greet the chief whip.
You
think
thank
sometimes
you very much.
In South Africa, you'll be shocked that the same people who wanted the ANC to be below 50% are all over complaining. But as I was listening to the chief whip explaining as to what is entailed by this government of national unity, I got a clarity as to what is the direction was and the way forward.
Mm.
It is upon the leadership that will be elected as cabinet members and those who will be occupying the strategic positions to take this government of national unity for. But one of the things that I would raise with the chief whip is that perhaps we missed an opportunity to discuss a way forward prior elections to say, if we find us at a crossroad, which direction are we going to take? And as it's happening now, I think it's a lesson learned that next time when we meet such a situation, we have learned more experience to know what direction to take. Because I would understand that the organization went to different conferences, regional, provincial conferences. One of the fundamentals that we should have discussed in the policy is to understand that if we find ourselves where we have to come with the government of national unity, what should it entail? Because if you check those documents, you listen to the DA, they were talking about errors there and there. And it shows that it's a document that came now and it will have a lot of errors. Even the approach, it will have a lot of errors. But I think from the experience that we have learned now, it is going to give us more experience as to whether how to shape this and make it reality. And I hope that every South African will now, because this is real, will now use his wisdom, his brain, his knowledge to make sure that we really deliver on this government of national unity instead of complaining about it, because that is where the enemy should be. That it's real and it's happening. For us to come and complain about it, I think we should go back and think as to how best can we make it happen, because this is what is going to happen in happening. So we should apply our mind to see as to whether how best can we make this thing work and take South Africa home. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Silent.
Well, thanks, Lila. I would be very brief. I want to start with the last caller. I think part of the weakness in our system now, like you were saying, Pamela, is that the document is not out.
Yes.
It has to be made public.
Yes.
I'm sure the leadership of the ANC, working together with our GNU partners, will have to attend to that.
Mm.
The second issue about what Watson was saying, I'm not going to respond to him in detail, but he says something that really indicates that he does not have a full appreciation of the actual reality of the South Africa we live in. When somebody starts saying the ANC has messed up the country from 1994, then I know that this is either a person who has never supported the ANC, or for some reasons is somebody that is deeply embattled and hate the African National Congress. There are facts which have not been presented by us, even by what we may call the right-wing opponents of the ANC. They've written volumes of information to indicate how the ANC has actually changed the landscape of the country, the face of South Africa, notwithstanding the fact that in the past few years, certain mistakes were committed. Now, I don't want to consume this show with statistics about that, because I'm quite certain that we can direct him to the sources of that information. It exists, it's there. It's not true, it's false that the ANC has actually messed up the country for the past 30 years.
Let me quickly, I want to wrap quickly, but there's so much to get through. The FF Plus has told us today that they have joined the Government of National Unity. You can confirm that?
Well, if they've done so, I mean, I such information will reach the SG,
right,
and then we'll get brief as negotiators.
Right.
But if they've done so, it will be very good. I think we will applaud them as the ANC. When we met with them on two occasions, they were not opposed to the GNU. They raised certain concerns about the constituents, the Afrikaner, that they represent, and
yes,
how in their
Oranje
view
was one of those.
They've been left behind. No, but you know. Incidentally, the issue about Oran never arose in our own bilateral.
In fact, that's interesting, because that's what they publicly
arose.
Say.
I'm told from what I was reading,
yeah,
they are referring to their support of the ANC in the Northern Cape.
In the Northern Cape, yes.
That part of the conditions was about this thing about Orani.
Yes.
But, I mean, one will understand from our comrades. As a negotiating team, a matter like that has never arisen. And if it arises, the public will know the attitude of the ANC on that question.
Obviously, there's a debate now, and this is going to be helpful when the document is open, the debate about consensus. And I'm raising this because I want to ask you about the Patriotic Alliance.
Sure.
Is the Patriotic Alliance part of the GNU?
Yes. In fact, they were the second part, the second organization to sign. The first one was the DA. The second one was Patriotic Alliance. The third one was the IFP. The fourth one was... is it good? The fifth one was PAC. The sixth one, of course, is the ANC. So the ANC was number one, followed by the DA. Third one is the PAC. I mean, the...
You know that the DA has publicly refuted that.
Yeah, they're unhappy about the ANC agreeing that the Patriotic Alliance must join the government of Nations. They've got reservations, very fundamental concern about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they've not elevated that issue to one of the conditions for them to stay. I think the discussion between us and them has largely been very matured. Well, with their areas of disagreements or divergence, there's been an opportunity to ventilate those and to help each other to understand that more than our own ideological position, there is a country that is awaiting the leadership of a parliament, public representatives who must act in the best interest of our people.
I don't think they've told us that they want to leave, which is what you're right about.
Yeah.
But I do think what makes it difficult is them thinking you don't have the prerogative to go and talk to others outside of their own input and make decisions outside of their input. And they're saying you didn't, and therefore the PA is not part of the GNU.
We cleared that in our discussion with them. Like I was saying earlier on, there was that position was predicated on the wrong assumption.
Okay.
The assumption was that once you sign, you are now a member that must decide who comes in. While our own understanding was that the ANC engages with all parties who would agree to form the GNU. Once the GNU has been properly established, anyone who wants to join the parties in the GNU must therefore be subjected to a different process. In this case, it has been the ANC that is reaching out to everybody, including the DA. And there was never an expectation from ourselves and all parties that we have engaged until recently, when the DA raised the concern that once there's an agreement with the second part, we must seek their permission for the third one, and from the third one, seek their permission to the fourth one.
Yeah.
There was no way we could have worked like that.
When are you going to come to an agreement of protocols of communication publicly?
Well, you know, this is a... Pamela, this is a new entity.
Yes.
It's very young.
Yes.
It's really a week old.
Yes.
I think what South Africans should appreciate is that in a document that has got maybe 28 or 30 clauses or points, there are only two or three where there are areas of disagreements, not about the substance but the interpretation. The rest, there's a consensus about what it meant.
Well, there is another interpretation. That you're right, not actually about the substance, but about who's leading. And that's a concern for South Africans, because it's framed that way by others. And hence I say, even if you iron out things internally, publicly, it doesn't sound like that. And that's the concern, right?
I want to make this point, and I'm making this point with the greatest humility.
Yes.
None of the parties who have agreed to be part of the GNU.
Yeah.
Had the GNU as their own original thinking. It was the African National Congress which engaged with them on several occasions and persuaded them into the direction of the GNU. Now, so I think there shouldn't be a contestation about if there are challenges.
Yes.
Where should we look up to in terms of leadership?
Yes.
The collective that has agreed to work together,
we'll
have to exercise that leadership as a collective. But where there are areas of divergence or disagreements, I think the ANC would always have a role to explain what was in the first place, the spirit and the latter of what we're agreeing on, as opposed to what is on the text. Because part of what we've been reminding each other with the DA is what was the spirit and the light. Never mind what ultimately was crafted down into the document. And if we remember and we remain committed to the spirit and the light of our agreement, there shouldn't be a problem to resolve interpretation.
Apart from discussions which you are having, are you going back to redraft this thing? Do you think there's a need for a third draft?
No. There's not anything really to be redrafted.
Okay.
I think we need to clear our minds around interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I also think we all accept is that this is the first document which has allowed us to work together. There's more that we need to work on. We still have to prepare for what is called the National Dialogue.
Yes.
Which is going to be a platform not just of the parties in the GNU.
Yes, publicly.
It's a South African
well. Yes.
platform.
Mm-hmm.
Where civil society formation, business, the labor and everybody are going to come on board and participate. Which is a platform where we're going to have to define the national priorities for this administration to say together as South Africans, this is how we want to proceed from where we are into the next decade of our liberation. So I think it's even this document on the statement of intent, there would be instances where, because of our lived experiences in the course of our work, we make certain changes. That is why we decided on what is called the GNU Political Council, which is a platform through which we're going to have to discuss major differences and major questions that are arising in the course of our work. So those may have, in one way or the other, an impact on the substance and the content of the statement of intent, which was an initial document to signal our undertaking to work together.
Mr. Ntuli, I have to leave it there because we've run out of time. Really would love to have you again. Thank you so
much
for coming through.
Thanks, and thanks to your listeners.
Thank you. Mdumiseni Ntuli is an ANC chief whip.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.